The Google Effect. When knowing where to look feels like knowing, the Google Effect reveals why remembering where to find an answer is different from carrying an idea into clear thinking and real conversation. There is a small kind of modern confidence that appears everywhere now. Someone mentions a claim at dinner, in a meeting, or halfway through an argument. You do not quite remember the details, but you know exactly where you saw it. You can picture the tab. You remember the search phrase. You know which person posted the link, which video explained it, or which bookmarked article would settle the question. For a moment, that can feel very close to knowing. Then the phone is not in your hand. The tab is closed. Someone asks what the idea actually means, why it matters, what it would change, or whether it applies here, and the confidence thins out. This is the strange territory of the Google effect. Remembering where information lives better than remembering the information itself. The original 2011 research reported that people expecting future access to information were less likely to recall it and more likely to remember where to find it. The finding is useful as a lens, not a verdict on every modern mind. Later replication work is a reminder that individual experiments deserve ordinary scientific humility. The internet has become a form of external memory. That is not necessarily a problem. It may be one of humanity's oldest tricks. A recipe book remembers what one cook cannot. A library remembers what one household cannot. A friend who knows cars, a parent who knows family history, and a colleague who understands a system no one else fully sees are all forms of shared memory. Books, notes, maps, archives, and other people have always extended the mind. Search simply made that extension instantaneous. Retrieval is not the same as understanding. The difference is scale, speed, and intimacy. Our phones are not across the room on a shelf. They are in our hands, in our pockets, beside the bed. A question arrives and the route to an answer is already familiar. Search, scroll, open the save link, ask an assistant, find the clip, pull up the old thread. It is hard not to let that availability change our relationship to knowledge. Imagine a conversation about whether a company should automate part of its customer service. Someone says they have read extensively about it. They remember a case study, a video breakdown, a founder's post, and the exact search terms that brought them there. They may be right that the material is worth reading, but when someone asks, "What did the company actually gain, and what did it give up?" the answer does not come. They can retrieve it. They cannot yet carry it. Knowing where to look is a navigational skill. It is useful. In a world too large for any one person to memorize, it may be essential. Knowing something is different. It means the idea has entered your own network of judgment. You can explain it in plain language. You can connect it to another situation. You can notice when a familiar example does not apply. You can say, "What would change your mind?" You can carry the idea into a conversation without needing to reopen the tab. Retrieval gives us access. Understanding gives us orientation. The danger is not that we use external memory. The danger is that we mistake access for possession when a reference replaces a thought. That mistake can make conversations shallower in a particular way. We begin to speak in references rather than thoughts. There was a study about this. I saw a video that explains it. There is an article you should read. Those may be good starting points, but they can also postpone the harder work of saying what we think the material means. A reference is not yet an argument. A bookmark is not yet a belief. This is where the Google effect becomes more than a memory quirk. It becomes a question about intellectual responsibility. When knowledge is always one search away, we can keep the feeling of being informed without asking whether anything has really been absorbed. We can collect explanations as if they were tools on a workbench, then discover that we do not know how to use them when the situation changes. The modern habit of looking things up has made us more capable in many ways. It has lowered barriers that used to keep people out of expertise. A curious person can learn to repair a sink, understand a legal term, trace a historical claim, compare products, study a new craft, or begin to understand a field that once felt closed off. That is real power. It deserves to be celebrated. But it creates a second responsibility: to know the difference between having found something and having learned it. The test is what remains. AI sharpens the question without changing its basic shape. An assistant can retrieve, summarize, compare, and explain at remarkable speed. That can help a person move from confusion to clarity. But a fluent answer can also create the illusion that the clarity now belongs to the person who asked. Sometimes it does. Sometimes the answer has only passed through. The test is not whether you can find the answer again. The test is what remains when the answer is not in front of you. Can you explain it to someone who disagrees? Can you apply it to a different case? Can you identify its limits? Can you make a decision with it when the facts are incomplete? Can you hear a new piece of evidence without simply reaching for the source that made you feel certain before? Those are not tests of memorization for its own sake. They are tests of whether information has become judgment. The Google effect does not tell us to put down our phones or distrust search. It asks for a more honest relationship with the tools that help us think. Use the bookmark. Save the article. Ask the question. Follow the trail. Then, before you call the idea your own, try carrying it a few steps without the map.